Question, so if you don't believe in he exists, why are you so bothered by it? Glory to God. Let me get this pulled up. Praise the name of the Lord. I tell you, man, he's good, y'all. He's good. Only good. Remember that. God is only good. God is only good. God is only good. Simul. Thank you, Jesus. I haven't done this in a while. Y'all know that. And I'll welcome you back, Mackie.
Thank you.
You know, it's kind of funny. We do our stuff at the same time.
We do.
We didn't mean to.
One way or another.
Two peas in a pod.
Yes, indeed.
Oh, glory.
Woo. Yes,
yes. It's good to see you. I've been thinking about you.
I sure have.
Hallelujah. How am I doing, Bonnie? I got my mic now. Before we get going, we're already gone, so before we get going, what a thing to say, right? I'm just going to give y'all an update. Y'all knew that my daughter actually stabbed herself through her hand. The knife went through her hand, but praise God, it was kind of down toward the end of her hand, so nothing was severed except her skin, but that was pretty severe because they actually, when she got there, they had to pull the knife out. When she got to the ER, she was cutting an avocado. And her husband, who is precious beyond belief, I love Joseph. But anyway, he sent me a little video this morning of there's a doctor that does this all the time and says it's a very common thing in the AR. People come in all the time having stabbed themselves in the hand trying to cut an avocado, get the pit out of an avocado. Yeah. So beware of avocados. But then it was so funny because then he showed the proper way to do it without any risk to injury whatsoever. So it was just kind of funny he sent that to me this morning. But Chris appreciates all the prayers. She has a paper due tomorrow that she's trying to type today with her other hand, that sort of thing, because she's trying to finish up, you know, she graduates in just a couple of weeks. So she needs prayer for that. And of course I was up there and then I went to her house and they had just eaten and everything. So the dishes, everything was everywhere, you know, cause she bled everywhere. It was a mess. So I went over there clean, last night. So her husband could tend to her because she needed some tending to, and it had been a real experience. Anyway, I just praise God for his faithfulness. And when I called her, I was on the phone with her and I began to pray. And she said, oh, mommy. She still calls me mommy. She's almost 30, but she calls me mommy. She's the only one of my kids that calls me mommy. And she says, mommy, that is exactly what I prayed. Because, you know, she plays the keyboard. Music is her thing. She's got some music out there on Apple that you can pull on your phone and listen to. But she had written another song, and she had just done it, and she hadn't gotten with the band together to get it all situated and stuff. But I knew that was in her heart, was her gifting from God. You know, it's amazing what you pray, what's inside. When you're in a crisis, you begin to think about, but God put that in me. I've got to use this for his glory. And that's what she writes her songs for, to encourage people in the Lord, to bring encouragement to hearts that are wounded and hurting and bleeding out. We've got people all over America. They're just bleeding out everywhere. They're in so much pain and suffering and misery, and there's so much strife in America. And, you know, it's just, so she wanted songs to minister to people who are going through things, because I haven't met anybody in a long time who isn't going through something. And the reality is people have always gone through something. I mean, there's nothing new under the sun. The Bible says there will be wars and rumors of wars that will wax worse and worse before the end comes. And so, but the end is not going to come until the gospel's been preached all over the world. And then it says, and then the end will come. So just because there's troubles doesn't mean Jesus is fixed to come back. He's not interested in rescuing you from your destiny, of preaching the gospel, of sharing Jesus. He's not interested in rescuing you from your destiny as a believer for what we're actually called to do, which is minister life to other people through the truth of the glorious gospel. So some people are looking for an escape hatch. You know, I'm looking for people who need Jesus, who need Jesus. I'm going to be bringing a message today called The Message. That's the name of this. That's the name of what I'm going to talk to you about, the message. You know, words are really powerful. They can stir up strife. They can stir up anger. They can stir up hatred. They can stir up convictions. They can also soothe, and they can calm. Some words spoken by one person can make everybody really angry. Another person can say the same thing and bring calm. So the way we say our words matters as well. You know, Jeremiah was a prophet sent by God to prophesy and preach repentance to a rebellious, wayward nation. Jeremiah was of this same nation, but God had anointed him to speak on his behalf, on the behalf of God, to the wayward people of God. They had been in rebellion to the covenant of God. They were an idolatrous people and had been raising up their offspring to do the same thing. Whatever you want your children to be that. We have no right to expect our kids to go beyond ourselves. But if we can at least get them up to that part, they will go beyond us. Part of their idolatry meant that even they burned their own children in the fire during Jeremiah's lifetime. They were burning their children in the fire. They were sacrificing their children to some of the idols of worship. They would offer sacrifices to idols for the produce that God had provided for them. Yeah. And they gave these offerings and presented thank offerings to other gods. These gods, of course, were imagined. There are no other gods. That's all a figment of people's imaginations. They worship God's creation instead of God. They gave themselves to all kind of sexual pleasure and lived only for what pleased their sensual appetites. These things and behaviors had gone on for so many years, though. And finally, God said, I just can't endure it anymore. I've said this so many times. People think, well, under the old covenant, God was so quick to be angry. No, it was just the opposite. He was slow to be angry. Sometimes these would go on for generations of violating God, of really just dissing God, of dismissing him, and taking on and living as they please while they say they were God's covenant people. They say, I am God's covenant. I have rights. I have privilege. But they never did the things God asked them to do. And they forgot that a covenant means you do this and then I'll do this. But if you do this, then I'm going to do this. That was the covenant. And they forgot that part. So they were depending on something that was false. This is huge. They were starving the widows. They didn't care. They were satisfying their sensuality. They didn't care about what God had said about that, about being faithful to your spouse or even faithful to him, because they were being sensual with idolatry, worship, and all these different things. But here we see God through Jeremiah. I praise the name of God, warning the people. He said, I'm going to send somebody to talk to them one more time. I'm going to send somebody who will say what is of my heart and to somehow so that I can gather them back to myself, because I want to bless them. My heart is to bless. God is a blesser. God's not a dammer. The devil is the dammer. God is not a dammer. God wants to bless. But it's like they wouldn't even come close to God. Their religion was nothing more than mere words. But there were no actions to go with those words. That's what religion is. It's where you say, I love God, but where's the evidence in our lives that we do? We say we love people. Where's the evidence that we do? Where's the evidence that we love people? And so we see God through Jeremiah warning the people so they could change their way and actually follow the covenant of God that had graciously been given. God didn't even have to give a covenant. He didn't have to have a chosen people. And he chose this group of people. They weren't any better than anybody else, by the way. They weren't. They were just as idolatrous, just as ornery as all other human beings can be. But God chose them and made a commitment to them. Through the seed of Abraham, all the nations will be blessed. And God wanted a lineage through which Jesus could come. And he needed to preserve that lineage. Because God is a God of promises. And he always keeps his word. And so when he had made that promise to Abraham, through you all the families of the earth will be blessed. And then he told Sarah the same thing. Through you all the families of the earth will be blessed. When he gave that promise, they believed it. And then God uprooted them from where they were, which was idolatry. Abraham kind of my Earl of the Chaldees. They were pagans. Until God gets hold of you, you were all a pagan. Until Jesus comes in, you're just a pagan. You don't think of yourself that way, but you are. You might be more distinguished, a distinguished pagan, but you're still a pagan. And so he had to uproot them. He wanted to separate them from these evil practices because he was going to begin a journey and then he was going to have other people come into that journey and more people until he had a group of people that he called his own. But he didn't want them to ever stay in that law. But in Jeremiah's time period, that's all that was so far. And the law had served its purpose to show people you're a sinner and you really need God. On your best day, you're not perfect. You're never going to be perfect. You can't do this covenant. And then it would cause them to cry out to God and see God, how gracious and how kind he's been to bless them over and over and over. He blessed their food, he blessed their water, he blessed their seed, he blessed their offspring, he blessed their children, he blessed their finances, he blessed everything that could be blessed while they followed that covenant. And then he showed them over and over how far they fell short of being able to be sinless. They couldn't do it. And that was so that when Jesus came, people would be ready and be excited. Finally, there's a provision for us. We're going to look at some of the things that Jeremiah said because he had a message. Jeremiah had a message of repentance for the people of his time period. And everything has conditions. People don't like that, but it's true. What goes up comes down. There's certain things, gravity, there's certain, but in terms of spirituality, there's also conditions. Jesus had conditions. So we're going to look at some of these today, and I have three different people we're going to look at this morning, and the first one is Jeremiah. So if you would turn this morning to Jeremiah 26, I'm going to begin there in verse 1. In the beginning of the reign of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, this word came from the Lord, saying, "Thus says the Lord, stand in the court of the Lord's house and speak to all the cities of Judah, which come to worship in the Lord's house, all the words that I command you to speak to them. Do not diminish a word." That was a significant sentence to me when I saw that. In other words, don't lighten up when you see them. Say it just the way I give it to you. He said, "Perhaps everyone will listen and turn from his evil way, that I may relent concerning the calamity which I purpose to bring on them because of the evil of their doings." It wasn't because God was just mad over nothing. They were being very evil and they were killing their own children. "And you shall say to them, thus says the Lord, if you will not listen to me to walk in my law, which I have set before you, to heed the words of my servants, the prophets whom I send to you, both rising up early and sending them out, but you have not heeded them, I will make this house like Shiloh, and I will make this city a curse to all the nations of the earth." So the priest and the prophets and all the people heard Jeremiah speaking these words in the house of the Lord. Now it happened when Jeremiah had made an end of speaking all that the Lord had commanded him to speak to all the people, that the priests and the prophets and all the people seized him, saying, "You will surely die." Well, that's kind of what happened to a lot of prophets. So being a prophet in the Old Testament was not a popular thing. It wasn't popular. Because they brought a message from God most all the time of repentance. Well, people don't want to hear that. They want to think they're just fine. So he says, why have you prophesied in the name of the Lord, saying, this house should be like Shiloh, and this city shall be desolate without an inhabitant? And all the people were gathered against Jeremiah in the house of the Lord. This took place in the house of the Lord. When the princes of Judah heard these things, well, they came up from the king's house to the house of the Lord and sat down in the entry of the new gate of the Lord's house. And the priests and the prophets spoke to the princes and all the people, saying, this man deserves to die, for he has prophesied against this city, as you have heard with your ears. Then Jeremiah spoke. You would think he would be scared out of his wits. They say, you should die. And so, but, you know, it's like the words of God burned in him. He had to release them. It was almost like he felt compelled, like he tried to keep those words down, because he knew everywhere he went, there was going to be strife and there was going to be conflict because of what he had to say. Then he spoke to all the princes and all the people, saying, the Lord sent me to prophesy against this house and against this city with all the words that you have heard. Now therefore, amend your ways and your doings and obey the voice of the Lord your God. Then the Lord will relent concerning the doom that he has pronounced against you. As for me, here I am in your hand. Do with me as seems good and proper to you. But know for certain that if you put me to death, you will surely bring innocent blood on yourselves, on this city, and on its inhabitants. For truly the Lord has sent me to you to speak all these words in your hearing. That's just one example of somebody who's called to bring a message. Bringing a message in a climate where what you have to say is not popular doesn't make you popular, except from hatred of those who don't want to hear, not that message. That's extreme, because the people felt comfortable where they were. They liked being able to do whatever they wanted to do and still call themselves the people of God. They liked that. And nobody else said anything different. So it's kind of like, it was like this herd mentality. So everybody was just the same. They were stealing. They would lie at the drop of a hat. Their word was not their bond. They swore falsely, using the name of God, a covenant name, to even make a promise that they weren't intending to keep. Now turn to Ephesians. We know that Jeremiah was faithful to what God called on him to do. And eventually captivity did come. But God did not allow harm to come to Jeremiah. That's the only one I did mark. Okay. Ephesians 2. We'll start in verse 1. Now, Paul's writing this to the church at Ephesus. The church at Ephesus, all the churches Paul wrote letters to, they all had issues, they all had problems. They were all different. So when you read the letters of Paul, you have to understand he wrote some things to that church because of some issues that were in that church. It doesn't necessarily mean he would have had the same thing. Plus, they, depending on where you lived in Rome, some of the laws were very, very strict. But on the outskirts of Rome, sometimes you could get away with more. I'm just putting it like that. But in the inner cities of Rome and some of the big cities that surrounding it, they were very, very strict, and the soldiers were everywhere. You were not your own. And the Jewish people lived under Roman law. They had no choice. They had no choice. So many of the ideas and things sometimes that are written are as Paul admonishing the people to not be breaking the law where they are, because that's not going to help the message of Jesus where they are. But Paul is saying, I love this. He says, in you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. We need to understand that until a person is born again, they're actually dead. They're the walking dead. A person cannot have eternal life with Jesus apart from Jesus. It's not possible. And so he says, he made you alive. You were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. Paul said, but before you get too puffed up, that's where we all were. So we need to remember that. But he's saying, according to the course of this world, there is a course that is of this world. It is not the same thing as Christianity. I say this really often. We cannot live a cultural Christianity and still be biblical. There is a biblical Christianity where Jesus is Lord of your life, period. Nobody else, just Jesus. You have one Lord, you have one Master. There's one mediator between God and man, and that's the man Jesus, the Bible says. He alone deserves that. That privilege and that spot, plus he is wisdom. And we all need so much wisdom. But while you're here on earth, we're navigating some things. We're navigating changes and shifts in cultural norms. And this happens all over the world. And I'm telling you, if you know anything, which America doesn't get very much news of what's really going on all over the world, just certain ones that we do business with, financial things, whatever. But there are a lot of places, because of Bishop Osborne and stuff, where, you know, we've learned about a lot of things going on that are absolutely, it's hard to even imagine. It's kind of like prisoners of Rome. They're treated like prisoners of Rome all over the world. The suffering of Christians all over the world. And it's getting more and more and more. And the Bible said that that's what was going to happen. But we don't want to live according to just the standards of this world system. Or any culture that you enter into. It's not that you are against their culture. You're just for Jesus. Like, you're not going with an attitude of, I'm against you, but Paul carried within him, when he ministered to the Jews who were not saved, and had rejected Jesus, he ministered from the knowledge of where they were coming from. And that's important. You acknowledge where a person is coming from, but you don't want to leave them there, because then they're just dead in that culture. You introduce them to Jesus, which is a new life. And I'm going to say this again, without the actual power of God to come in to completely change us, all you have is a philosophy. It's not any different than Buddhism or anything else. You can call it Christianity, but apart from the power, you've been deceived. And it's a power for us to change. We become somebody we never were before. And if I become somebody I never was before, I do things I never did before. And then there's other things I used to do I find no interest in whatsoever. It isn't that I'm trying so hard not to. I'm just not interested anymore. Because I have a new mind, and my mind is being renewed to be more and more like Jesus. So I begin to see things differently, and I want something different than what I used to want. And the things that used to seem like such a big deal aren't anymore. They're just not. So he goes on to say, who now works in the sons of disobedience, verse 3, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, I love that, but God who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. That's so precious. For by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works. You can't save yourself. You don't know how. You don't know how. Don't know how to do it. So this is Paul. And we see in Paul's writings where he has a message that some of the Jews did not want to hear. He also has a message that many people that were in paganism, the Greeks, the Gentiles, they also didn't want to hear. Because they could fulfill any kind of sensual desire they wanted. And they liked that. They wanted to do as they pleased within the framework of whatever Rome would allow, which was a lot. And they wanted to worship as they pleased. And so, but here's Paul then introducing a new message. And Paul ended up in prison over and over and over. Why? Because he was the messenger of the message. It's like, if we can get rid of the messengers, we can get rid of the message. If we can silence the messengers, we can silence the message for what they don't want to hear. This is what Jeremiah went through. It wasn't personal. It was the message. Anybody could have been saying those same things and they would have been riled up. Repent. Repent. In other words, your life is not right with God. You need to repent. Anybody could have been saying that. But that was the message that Jeremiah had been given in the words of the Lord, or you will be destroyed. He said, who is this? Who are you? And Jeremiah said, God sent me to you to deliver this word to you. He did not back off. But if you can shut up the messengers, the message is lost. And I think that's exactly what happened many, many years ago. You know, when America was birthed, it was infant, but a lot of their culture and ideas came from where they had been. They just transferred that to new dirt called America. But they were very limited in their understanding of Jesus. They were very limited in their understanding of the Word of God. And we can see that because of the way they behaved in decisions that they made. And I'm always wondering, where were the messengers? Where were the preachers of righteousness? Where were the ones who understood the ministry of Jesus and saw the ministry of Jesus and would teach the people that? It would have saved us a lot of hatred and problems if people had been kind and helpful like Jesus and reaching out to others and walking in love and walking in the fruit of the Spirit. We wouldn't be dealing with a lot of the stuff we're dealing with today. And I've said this many, many times. When our forefathers wrote the Constitution, and I'm not trying to diss the forefathers, I think they had limited understanding and they operated in it. And when I have had limited understanding, I've operated in the limitations. Everybody does. I think they were trying to come up with a great constitution where people had more freedom. But when they wrote that all men are created equal, it meant just them. And we know it for a fact. I mean, I wasn't included. There are other people who were not included. And we've talked about that before. But it doesn't mean that their intentions were bad. It meant their knowledge was really lacking. There was something lacking in what they'd been taught about God and who He is. Because God is a God of love. And we've talked about that so many times here. But I want you to understand, here's Paul. He's presenting a message. And, you know, you see him writing from prison cells over and over and over because of the message. The Romans didn't want to hear it because they were a bunch of idolaters. The Jews didn't want to hear it because they felt comfortable where they are and they liked the status quo. And all the Pharisees loved being the special people, the ones who were always honored at the feast and their pretty little robes they wore, special outfits, and they wanted everybody to cater to them. They loved all that. They liked sitting at the finest seats at the banquets. So they weren't quick to want to give any of that up. Not for truth. Not for truth. Not just for the truth. But you know, the truth you know is what makes you free. They were just as bound as all the people they were trying to minister to. Look in 1 Corinthians. First Corinthians, look in verse 15. Here goes Brother Paul again. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel, which means good news. I'm bringing you good news. That was his message. His message was good news, and they didn't want it. which I preached to you, which also you received, and in which you stand, by which also you were saved, if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen by Cephas, then by the 12. After that, he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present. In other words, some of those are still alive, but some have fallen asleep. After that, he was seen by James, then by all the apostles. Then last of all, he was seen by me also as one born out of time. For I am the least of the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. Oh, amen. And his grace toward me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it was I or they, so we preached, and so you believed. So he's talking again. He said, I came to bring you good news. These people had received it, but he's admonishing them, and he's telling them that there have been many, many witnesses of the resurrection of Christ. And I've said this so many times, but I want to say it, because on Facebook, some people, this will be the first time they've heard it, so y'all bear with me. But so many people, a lot of times on TV, when they show Jesus, and after the resurrection, it's just a few people around Jesus. It's not true. He appeared to hundreds of people. He was on the work, walking around on the earth 40 days after he was raised from the dead, before he ascended into heaven. Hundreds of people saw him. At one point, there were over 500 people at one time that saw him. So we have to keep that in mind, that the witness of Jesus isn't just one or two or three or four or 12 people. It was hundreds of people. And he says some of them are still alive that could testify to the same thing. We've got to remember this, because people are so influenced by what they see on TV. And so they think it was just a few people, or maybe just the apostles or something. But that's not true. So Paul is trying to remind them, this testimony and this thing that you've signed up for, so to speak, it's real. And many people saw him. He was reassuring them, you have heard the message. You're listening to the right message. It is true. It is true. Now, go back to Romans. I'm going to look at Romans 12. Here's Paul again. In the book of Romans, he talks about the Jewish stuff a lot. He's trying to help the Jews understand, but he says this. Remember, he's a messenger. So he had a message to the church at Ephesus, which was a pagan city. But Jews were interspersed throughout all the cities in Rome. We know that. But here he's saying, I beseech you, in verse 1 of chapter 12, Romans, he says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Now, a lot of people would choke right there. A lot of people in the Christian church choke right there. Your body's a living sacrifice. Yeah, but I like to do, but I want, Echo, well, just ask God. He may be okay with that. I don't know. Have you talked to him? He says you can hear him. My sheep know my voice. They hear me. They follow me. Why don't you ask him? But they've already got a list of do's and don'ts that somebody's handed them. And so now they're conflicted about what to do. We're called to help people. We're called to be like Jesus. And when you look at the ministry of Jesus, that's the bar. There's not another bar. I'm supposed to be as much like Jesus as I can for where I am in my walk. And I'm not satisfied. Don't ever be satisfied and feel like you've arrived. Just let somebody steal your car. And you'll see right away how much that meant to you, right? Oh, yeah. I see you. He says, and do not be conformed. Here it is again. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God? A lot of people want to go where somebody else's mind has been renewed and they want to just listen to them. That's not what the word says. It says it's a renewing of your mind. And then you gather, because how do you know if what they're preaching is true or not if you don't know? If you don't read it for yourself, how do you know? Because a lot of people are preaching grace, but they keep pulling up the law to do it. Well, the law was done away with. Jesus came and fulfilled the law. It was, the Bible says it's done away with. I'm not judged under anything under the law. As a matter of fact, God is not judging me at all because Jesus took mine, my judgment. That's how I can go to heaven. There's no sin on my record. There can't be a sin on my record and me go to heaven, because sin doesn't go to heaven. Sin isn't going to heaven. This is why it's called such good news. It's because I've said it before. I live off Jesus straight A pluses. I'm living off his report card. And so this is why I can come boldly to the throne of grace. This is why you can access God and walk right up into his presence. And he's not disturbed that you're there. It's because that blood covers you. That blood of Jesus. Oh, my goodness. And it's sprinkled on the mercy seat. I love that. And that whereby we cry, Abba, Father. I can call God my Father. He loves me. I'm his child. I am his darling. I'm valued. I'm a person of value. And you are too. Because Jesus paid the same price for everybody. So everybody has the same value to God. Yes. And it was a lot. The price was high. Yes. The third person of the Trinity sacrificed himself so I could go free from the judgment of sin. Don't take that lightly. And the more you understand it, the more you want to serve him. The more you want to be like him. How do you love like that, Jesus? How do you love the people that are nailing you to the wood? How do you love people when they look down on you? How do you love people when they won't listen? They don't like the message. How do you love them? Because see, Paul wasn't the only one who got in trouble because of the message. And over, they would lock him up and try to kill him. They tried to kill him over and over and over. But he's just kind of one of those diehard batteries, takes a licking and keeps on ticking. I mean, God would raise him up every time. He was beaten. I mean, when we say beaten, I'm not talking about just somebody smacked him around. They take these metal rods and just beat the whaley out of you. Where he could, hardly move. No painkillers. Nobody's coming to help. He just had to depend on the healing power of God. And there were a lot of people who didn't like his message. And his message was a message of love. See, do you understand what I'm saying? When you bring the message, you can say God all you want to, but when you say the name Jesus, there's a split right there. You lost a whole bunch of people. You lost them right there. And when you say we're supposed to be like Jesus, then a lot of people get messed up because their religion tells them, oh, you could never be like Jesus. When I go to heaven, I will be just like Jesus in that I have no sin, just like Jesus has no sin. That's what I mean by being like Jesus. He was the prototype to show us how God wanted us to live while we're here, not when we go to heaven. We're supposed to be living the life of Jesus while we're on earth, while we're still here. Yes. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, I'll stop there. That's what. Now go to John, the book of John. The message of Jesus is the most powerful message that's ever been brought to us. But it's not just you get saved and then you live pretty much as you please, or pretty much like your own culture does. I've used this example before as well. when my kids were growing up, I never told my son to hold the door for a woman. Oh, you know, if it's a woman, be sure you hold the door for her. I said, always hold the door for whoever's behind you. One is cultural, the other is spiritual. One is cultural, one is called kindness. Kindness, let the law of kindness see. And so, but the church, it became so cultural. Everything is about our culture. What difference does any of that make? We're all going to go to heaven. Do you think your culture, I mean, we're going to be in the culture of heaven, whatever all that is. And all of the things we make such a big to-do about right now, or that you have to have a turkey because it's Thanksgiving, or all the things that people get absolutely twisted over about, they won't matter in heaven. We it's like we get so angry at some small things that don't exist in heaven now and won't be there when we get there. We got to love the way Jesus loved. We got to cling to what Jesus was clinging to and let go of whatever he was willing to let go of. Easier said than done, right? I think about these things. So, well, why do you think about this? Because I really want the life of Jesus. I think that's what America needs. It's the only solution to our problems. The government doesn't have solutions for the problem. Well, they're all fighting among themselves. It's Jesus. Jesus is the answer for what ails the human heart, the human soul. It's Jesus. There's not another answer. There's not another answer. And debate after debate isn't going to fix it. It's just people exchanging their own intellectual ideas about what they think. In heaven right now, that means nothing. It means absolutely zip. But when people get a hold of Jesus, really when he gets a hold of them, it's kind of a mutual thing. We're holding on to each other. And he comes in to abide. One of the songs we sang about before was he comes to dwell in us. His spirit comes to indwell us. I'm never separated from Jesus. I have access to his wisdom anytime I need it. I have access to truth anytime I want it. Because Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is truth. The Bible says Jesus is wisdom. We got to know the word of God for ourselves. This thing of depending on going to church, sitting in somebody's spoon feed. You know, I encourage you. Of course, I know y'all are in the word because y'all are you in stay here. You wouldn't stay here. You wouldn't want to hear this. But see, the message, you've got to get rid of the messengers. And I see that's what's kind of been happening a lot, where the truth of the glorious gospel has been watered down to accommodate pretty much anything and everything. The truth of the gospel isn't so that we accommodate sin. It's so we could cast it out. It's so people could be free from sin. People need to be free from sin. The thing that hurts them and torments them also hurts the people that they're around. The thing that all the torments that make people feel crazy and insecure, all those kinds of things. People need to be free of that. They have to hear the right message to get free. They have to hear the right words to get free. They have to know that there's a people who care about them to get free. Somebody that's not going to condemn them when they mess up. But it also is not going to compromise who they are to accommodate what they keep doing. Like you can keep whatever, but I'll love you while you're there doing it, but I'm not doing that with you. Because I'm free. I'm free. And God wants us to stay free. You got to stay free. The pull of the world is strong. It's strong. It's strong. Satan is the god of this world, the Bible says. It also says he's the father of lies. And there's a strong pull on you to back off the name Jesus and not mention him to too many people because, well, you know how they are. No, I know how God is. I know how God is. Do we prefer the faces of people or do we prefer God? This is where the rubber meets the road, y'all. I see Jeremiah standing up incredibly strong. He didn't even have Jesus living in him. He was anointed by God to be a prophet, but Jesus hadn't even come yet. He was an Old Testament prophet. But yet he stood before everybody around him knowing they were ready to kill him at any moment. The prophets prophesied about the coming of Jesus. Yeah. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Look in John 8. I'm going to go to verse 23, please, guys. And he said to them, "You are from beneath." This is Jesus speaking. "I am from above. You are of this world. I am not of this world." Wow. I'm going to say this. Once you're born again, you are not of this world. Your home is heaven. Your home is heaven. The Bible says that's home. That we are foreigners and aliens here. We are just on a journey here because we're Christians. And that the moment you're born again, your homeland is heaven. You're of another kingdom. And that kingdom and what goes on in that kingdom supersedes the one here. This is why there's so many martyrs. They're not just going along with this kingdom that's here. Because there's another kingdom that came inside to reign within them while they're still here. This is the only way you have a testimony or an influence, is if you're still here. That's why we're still here. So we can get to know God better. He wants us to have a relationship with him because that's what he always wanted. Because God loves people. God loves all people. Jesus died for all people for all time. Sin was paid for on the cross. My sin was paid for before I was ever born. But it could not be activated until I chose. But the payment was made. It's kind of like you could have an inheritance and they've got a fund for you at the bank and you don't know it's there, so you never go, but it was there, already provided for you. But look at what he's saying here in John 8. Says verse 23, "You are from beneath, I'm from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. Therefore, I said to you that you will die in your sins. For if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins." Well, whoa, nobody wants to hear that. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? You got a crowd of people and you say a verse like that? Whoa. Don't like that message. Then they said to him, "Who are you?" "Who are you?" And Jesus said to them, "Just what I've been saying to you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge concerning you. But he who sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I heard from him." Well, they did not understand that he spoke to them of the Father. Then Jesus said to them, "When you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself. But as my Father taught me, I speak these things. And he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone." That's so precious. "For I always do those things that please him." As he spoke these words, many believed in him. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's descendants, but you seek to kill me, because my word has no place in you. I speak what I have seen with my Father, and you do what you have seen with your father." They answered and said to him, "Abraham is our father." Jesus said to them, "If you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham did not do this. You do the deeds of your father." Then they said to him, "We were not born of fornication. We have one Father, God." Jesus said to them, If God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God, nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Kind of like Jeremiah said, I was sent to you to speak these words. And we see Jesus saying something very similar. It's a message they're not wanting to hear. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you're not able to listen to my word. You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. But because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Which of you convicts me of sin? Well, that was a good question. And if I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears God's words. Therefore, you do not hear because you are not of God. That's pretty bold, isn't it? It was bold. I don't think he said that in a mean way. I think he said it in a very matter-of-fact way. Well, how can I say that? Because God is love. Because Jesus wanted them to come in. Or he wouldn't have taken time to talk to them at all. But he had to tell them the truth. Apart from me, you will die in your sins. Y'all stand up. I think we're entering a time, and it's already happened in many other countries, when you're going to have to just kill the messengers. You got to do something about them. Because when the truth goes forth, people get their hearts right with God. When the truth goes forth, people get a hunger for God. They go, I want to know God. I don't want to be one of those people that's deceived. After having gone to church my whole life. And then when you're saved, you begin to care about all the people who are still there, like you were at one point. Just kind of going through the motions, but no real passion and fire in your heart for Jesus. Not really wanting to change. Certainly making no effort. I see that Jesus is very radical. He's very radical. I'm talking about something that's radical. To be born again, to become someone you never were before. There's nothing back there I want to go back to. Nothing of who I was. Nothing. Nothing. I mean, I had an encounter with God. I've been different ever since. And I've had encounters since then that changed me again and again and again. You go from glory to glory to glory. You get another level of understanding. I want to walk in the love of Jesus. He was bold as brass, but it didn't mean he was pushy. He invites, he woos, but God is not pushy. But he lays it out there, and then he says, all right, now you choose. Choose you this day whom you will serve. You choose. See, you choose everything in your life. You choose everything you watch, everything you're going to listen to. You not always can choose every conversation you absolutely overhear. You can choose if you focus on it or not. You can choose, does it land somewhere in you? Does it find a place in you? Ah, y'all understand what I meant by that? You got to watch the things that find a place in you where you become judgmental of someone. That you don't really know. You just decided. See, only God knows a person's heart. These are things we've got to watch out for. It's easy to do. And our culture promotes it. That you can get together and just talk bad about people. Do you know that's not what Christians do? Christians don't get in a room together and run somebody down. I can't be running down somebody I know God is wanting to save and loves and died for. How can we do that? There was a time when I would. Because people in church, they do that. They don't mind doing that. You can go to church your whole life and do stuff like that. But that's not the character of God. It's not the fruit of the Spirit. And one day it was just like, kind of like Barney Fife. Nip it. You know. And it was just like, God just called my hand on this. What are you doing? Oh, what do you mean? Because, you know, you're just around that. And so they say, like, this is what I'm talking about. A church culture or an American cultural Christianity thing. But there's no backbiting in heaven. You think about where your home is, see. Would they be happy at home? Can you write to home about it? You know? about what we say, what we do, our attitudes toward people that may be different from us. They may have a little different take. They may have a little different culture. You know, can we just give people some grace and space? God gave me a lot of grace and space to come to Him. Can we do that for people? Well, we're also telling the truth. You can't compromise the truth of the glorious gospel, for by grace you're saved through faith, not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, lest anyone would boast. Jesus said, I am the door, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. And then once you belong to Him, He expects you to become more and more like Him. It's all through the Word of God that you become more and more like Jesus. That's the message. It's the message that in America we don't like. We don't like it. But I'm telling you, a lot of people do. I began to understand the message, and my heart said, I want that. I want to be like you, Jesus. Because see, you're becoming like somebody all the time. Maybe it was your dad, maybe it was your mommy. Well, what about Jesus? We can become more and more like Jesus. This is why He comes to abide in us. Because He has things He wants to do, but He needs people. So He'll have to flow through us to do it, make it happen, see? This is what He taught His disciples to do. And then they were to teach others, and they were all to do the same things. It's called the power of God. How about your heads, please? Lord, we love you today. We need you. We know that. Help us to receive your message. Today, God, I've been your messenger. I understand that there's some things that sometimes I say that seem different. But God, I hope people understand I'm saying it in love. Because I really do want to see people get to be with you. I can't stand the thought that people would live their whole life and not know you. Because you're so precious and you've given so much. And when we come to you, you just keep giving. And you just keep giving. And fellowship with you is oh so sweet. If you don't know this Jesus that I've been talking about today, there may be some things about me you just don't like, because some people just automatically don't like other people. And that's okay, but please don't reject the message. Because the message is sound. God loves you. And He sent His only Son into the world. He doesn't want you to be condemned. And He didn't come to condemn you. He came to save you. He wants you to be free. He wants you to be healed. He wants you to be whole. He wants you to be His friend. Jesus wants to be your very best friend and also your sovereign Lord all at the same time. He wants to walk with you. He wants to help you make decisions, whether it's buying a new car or where you're going to live or the people you're going to be hanging around with. God wants to live His life with you. Will you let Him? Will you let Him in? He died for you and He died for your sins. You can't pay for Him. You don't have a way to do that. You're not perfect. At some point you're going to mess up. Jesus was perfect in our place. That was the whole point of Him coming, is so that we could have a relationship with God. God is real. There is no other God. Would you receive His kind offer today? Would you say, yes, I want Jesus. I believe He did die for my sins. I'm accepting His kind offer of grace. I know I can't do this. I'm so glad He did it for me. And I'm going to give Him my life. And I'm going to serve Him. And I'm going to learn what that means. You can do that right now. It's from your heart. It's from your heart. Do it right now. Don't delay. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Have you got some statement?
There is a rock in Zion. Its immovable force that cannot be shaken. It is anchored in love, fortified by the Holy Spirit. It is inside of you that can go everywhere you go. It is to be shared so that others can carry this treasure inside themselves.
Jesus is the treasure that you carry. I hope this stays with you today. I hope this message burns in all our hearts today. Remember, you know, a lot of times you might not like the messenger. A lot of people, they didn't like Jeremiah. They didn't want it because they didn't want to hear what he had to say. Maybe they didn't like the way he dressed. They didn't like his style, whatever. We have all kinds of things that get in the way of just hearing the simple truth. And the devil will point out people's flaws to you so you can have a reason not to receive the message. And I certainly have my share. But the message is true. The message is true. And at some point, we all have a message we're supposed to be sharing. We're all supposed to be bringing this message of hope to a lost world. It's crazy and messed up. We need Jesus. We need Jesus all the time. And you know what? Jesus needs you. He's no longer on the planet except through people. I mean, if somebody's going to go pray for the sick, it's going to be a person, right? Where his hands, where his feet. If somebody's going to take food to somebody who's ill, it's going to be a person. It's going to be somebody in flesh. You understand what I'm saying? So we carry on his ministry that he began here on the planet. We are the carriers of the message. There are many other carriers, but I'm saying they're all people, all colors, all over the world, and they're carrying the message of hope for humanity. Y'all stand up. God, I thank you so much for today. I thank you, God, that your words have gone forth. I thank you, God, we've had an awesome time of worship this morning. I thank you, God, that when we leave, it won't be business as usual. How can it be? How can we worship this one that we call God and be just like everybody else and just go into some sort of routine? How is it possible that we can be? Oh, God, ignite our hearts. I want fire. Do you want the fire of God where you cannot help but speak of what you've seen and heard? I mean, I've seen, when you've seen people healed, when you've been in that place with God that's just so rich and he's just bathed you in his presence and you have a new revelation of who he is, it changes you. Why be saved and stay the same? What would be the point? I don't even see how that's possible. I don't see what's possible for you to receive the very life of God and not change. So I think a lot of people are confused about what salvation is. We've watered it down so much. Don't water God down. He deserves better. Jesus deserves better, right? Yeah. God, I thank you so much for what you've done here today. I bless the people. Jesus, you're the blesser. And so we can bless one another. We can bless one another with love and friendship and kindness. Our city needs us. Our city needs help. God, help us be those who help and not criticize. But we're help. We're the help that people need. We are strong when others are weak. We're brave because we carry a message of hope we know they need. And I give you all the praise and glory for it. And if there's anybody here today and you want prayer for anything at all, Jesus will meet you right here. So if you want that before you go, you just let one of us know or just come up here and say, I do. I want prayer. You want prayer today for anything? We'll pray for you. Is there anybody here who wants prayer? All right, Mackie. D. Precious. Boy, he thought he had you, didn't he? I know. He's wrong. Because the fire is burning brighter and brighter and brighter. In the name that's above every name. I thank you, God, you hear and you know this. You know what's